Hello and welcome to another edition of Defending the Den. I'm your host, Scotty Waz. How are you guys doing? Allergies stink, but that is how it's supposed to be this time. And it means warmer weather's coming, which means hockey season's coming to a close, which means your Maryland Black Bears are prepping for the playoffs. How about that? All in one fell swoop. But before that, they had their last regular season road trip up to Danbury. And it was, boy, it was something else. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what to look ahead for Johnstown. We've got some interviews and a little bit of alumni news. But before we get off there, we will start with, what happened in Danbury. And it's one of those situations where I mentioned last week it could have been a trap weekend. It was one of those things where, you know, you go up there and you're the first place team. You already got a spot clinched. You're looking for a bye weekend. You're taking on a team that is in last place who, you know, not really much to play for. You can't let your guard down. You can't rest everything. You have to make sure that you are ready to go. And Friday night kind of was an interesting look at it, by and large. It started off a little awkward, too, and a little off, as it seemed that the Colin Ronan was unavailable for this trip, as he was didn't even make the trip. He was, I don't know if it was injury or anything like that, but the Black Bears had to call up Lincoln Moland, who is part of the Lowell Academy in Middleborough, Massachusetts. So he was called up to back up Owen Lepak. So it was Lepak's show for the weekend, and to start off with, started pretty okay. I mean, Owen Lepak made some pretty solid saves off the start. The Black Bears were pushing very hard in the offensive zone, hit two posts from Dylan Gordon and Sam Stitz, but Danbury decided to capitalize. First, a puck going down deep, thrown in front of the net, kind of deflecting off Lepak from Alexos Georgakoulis, and I don't know if he was the one who tapped it into the side of the net. The camera angle is like from Hartford to Danbury, so could not make out the number, but Georgakoulis gets credit for the goal. And that puts Danbury up 1-0, and then 1:25 after that, right off the faceoff in the neutral zone, Logan Nickerson breaks in, faceoff one forward. He picks up the puck, catches the defense flat-footed, wrist one over the glove of Lepak, and away we go, 2-0 for Danbury. A little bit of emotional explosion happening as tempers flare over. Maryland a little bit frustrated, trying to find a spark. Keaton Lipsett gets into it with Amin Gauthier, and they both get 5 for fighting, 10 for misconduct, and away they go. But penalties started to pile up for the Black Bears late into the frame that carried over into the second. And in the second, on 5-on-3, Wyatt Steffen from the point through traffic, 33 seconds into the frame, makes it 3-0 for Danbury. Maryland will get one back later in the frame. They almost had one right after the power play from Steffen. On the power play of their own, but the netting was knocked off Lucas Furston. And there you go. Black Bears looking for their first tally. Come a little bit later. Dylan Gordon wraps his 6th goal of the year. Great passing play. Tic-tac-toe from Stitz and Jesse Horacek gets Maryland on the board. They're down 3-1. Gordon 6th. Samuel Stitz is 17th. Jesse Horacek's 25th assist. And the Black Bears within 2. Then moments later, Sam Stitz gets one of his own, just weaves through the zones, all 3 of them, pops it to Gordon. Gordon just a little one-toucher right back to Stitz. Stitz pots his 12th of the year. Gordon's 18th assist. Maryland 2 within 1. But afterwards, puck moving around. A rebound gets out to Wyatt Steffen. Wyatt Steffen throws it on net. Lepak just reaches over, just can't grab it, as Danbury would go up 4-2. And then another video review against Maryland shows that they didn't score a goal, and Steffen had a wrister to make it 5-2 late into the frame. And that's his 19th of the year, and he finishes off the hat trick in the period. Black Bears down 5-2 going into the third. Things didn't look too much better. The power play had chances in the third for Maryland. Nothing doing but shorthanded. They get scored on Logan Nickerson. Picks up the puck, rips it home for his 6-2 scoring, and then the 7-2 scoring happens when Cam Chiron throws a shot from the point, goes through traffic, eludes everything into the back of the net, and away they go, 7-2. Maryland kind of going a little wacky in the second half of the third period. couple of misconduct penalties, couple of cross-checkings, interference, trying to get something going, nothing happening. 7-2, the final in this one. Owen Lepak with 15 saves in the defeat. And yeah, I mean, the Black Bears outshot Danbury. They were outshooting them the first two frames. It was even in the third. And just happenstance happens. You hit a couple posts, you get a video goal review overturned, you get a net knocked off when you thought you had a goal. It's one of those things where you know something's not going your way, and then it just kind of snowballs from there. So it was an afternoon game on Friday. They had a lot of time to sit and stew and think about it on for Saturday's game. And Saturday's game was first off, I want to say that Danbury did an amazing job with their Danbury Trasher tribute jerseys. Those faux backs, those look really nice. Came out really good, hoping the Maryland Black Bears could do something like that, just putting that out there into the universe. In any case, Danbury was looking good, feeling good, and 42 seconds in, Josh Erickson makes it 1-0, just had it slide right under the pad of Owen Lepak. And then after that, the frustration really boiled over as we had a good old-fashioned line brawl after that. Tyler Stern and Luke Amell getting into it with Brock Barron and Michael Mancheo getting into it there. Barron gets ejected from the game after removing Matthew Croxall's helmet. And initially, it looked like Croxall was going to the penalty box for a 10-minute misconduct or what have you. But no, that got rescinded. A lot of confusion there. Play-by-play for Danbury. I know that they have to wear a lot of hats in some organizations, and the Black Bears are blessed to have so many people being able to work in the organization. But man, communication wasn't the best this weekend with Danbury. In any case, that kind of sparked the Black Bears, as right after that, Trace Johnson jumps down from the point on a 4-on-4. He puts home his 6th of the year. A great pass over from Riley Rue, who gets his 8th assist. Jeremy Tremblay gets a touch on it as well for his 21st assist of the year. Maryland ties it up at 1. Then the Black Bears would get on the board once again, getting their first lead of the weekend as Tyler Stern gets a puck down low from Cal Houston. He pots it home. He makes no doubt about it for his 7th of the year. Cal Houston's 20th assist, and Kareem El-Bashir getting his 25th assist as the Black Bears go up 2-1. Owen Lepak had to make some pretty solid saves in that one, and he was on point after that early goal. He was able to lock in and lock it down. A solid performance for him in the first period to keep it 2-1 after 1. In the second frame, Lepak again making huge saves. So was Lucas Furston over there in Danbury. But Maryland would add another one as Luke Rubin, coming down from the open side, finds the back door. Great pass from Riley Rue once again. Makes it 3-1 for the Black Bears. Then right after the halfway point, Jesse Horacek, who was playing in his 150th game as a Black Bear and in the NHL, gets a nice little redirect off of Dylan Gordon's shot. It was right after Sam Stitz hit the post, and Horacek redirects it in for his 19th of the season. Gordon with his 19th assist, Sam Stitz with his 18th assist. Black Bears up 4-1. They outshot Danbury 20-6 in the second period. Moving on to the third, and it's the Riley Rue show as he decides to get that dog in him and go out and go ham in the third. A big penalty kill for the Black Bears, including Lepak again, just sprawling out, just selling out to make sure he makes the save to keep things going Maryland's way. Right after a penalty kill, Riley Rue with a nice little amazing goal that should be on the highlight reels. If it's not, I'm doing this before, I'm taping this before they release the top plays of the weekend. And I don't like to edit. So we go back. Riley Rue just cuts through the defense and from his bottom redirects a puck in to the net on a penalty call. He gets his 14th of the year. Dylan Gordon, his 20th assist. Matthew Croxall, his 13th assist. Black Bears up 5-1. Then 6 minutes later, who else but Riley Rue again? A redirection of Cal Houston's shot makes it 6-1. Rue's 16th, Houston's 21st assist. Black Bears up 6-1, and then, hey, why not score a little more, get the aggregate game won, Luke Amell coming in from down low 32 seconds later, picks up a loose puck, throws it home for his 7th of the year. Jeremy Tremblay's 22nd assist. Luke Janis gets his 19th assist. Black Bears up 7-1, and they had a couple power plays late, but did not score on it, but that's all well and good. They secured their 40th victory of the season, second time and second consecutive season they've been able to do that. And the Black Bears roll 7-1. They win on aggregate by a score of 9-8. So if you want a silver linings playbook this and kind of get your own guard there, that's what happened there. But a split of the weekend is something the Black Bears didn't necessarily want. Obviously, you want all 4 points, especially when it comes to locking up the first place in the division right now. And as it stands, Maine lost on Friday but won on Saturday, so the Black Bears still 5 points up on the Maine Nordiques. Nordiques have one game in hand, and that was due to that tragedy that they had earlier in the season with everything that was going on there. They had to postpone a game, and that will be played at the end of the regular season. So Maine has one game in hand. So what that means for the Black Bears is that they have to win one game this weekend. You're going to win two because you're playing Johnstown. You want to send a message. And then they will lock up the East Division title for sure, or a Maine loss. But of course, you don't want to let it go into somebody else's hands. So there's that. Overall, Maryland still sitting in first, 5 points up on Maine. Maine sits 6 points up on Rochester. And Maine has locked themselves into the position. So it's now just a jockeying on see who wins the division between Maryland and Maine right now. And then Johnstown in fourth, New Jersey in fifth, and then there's still a battle between Philadelphia and Northeast, as Philadelphia might need that last game against Maine to determine whether or not they get into the playoffs or not. Both teams are tied at 52 points. Philadelphia has that game in hand. Northeast plays Tuesday night, or played Tuesday night. Again, I'm recording this on Tuesday afternoon, so we have everything going there. So it should be an exciting, exciting situation in the East Division. Black Bears know that they will have a week off between the end of the regular season and the beginning of the postseason. So they will just have to wait and see how it all pans out for them and who they play starting on the 19th. And this weekend, of course, a big weekend. It's the last regular season home weekend for the Black Bears. They'll take on Johnstown. Billet Appreciation Night. Easy for me to say. I believe that's on Friday night, and then Fan Appreciation Night on Saturday night, perhaps. There's a skate with the Black Bears after Saturday night's game. The whole team will be out there Friday and Saturday to not only sign the team poster that will be given out, but also the cards that will be given out as well. They'll be giving out trading cards as they do every year, and the players will sign them for that. So, fun situation to go on. A lot of stuff to talk about and things like that for the Black Bears and giving back to the community and such. So should be a good one. Get down there early. Get down there often. Tickets.MarylandBlackBears.com. I don't know I'm sure that the billet ceremony will be before the game on Friday, and I would think that the age out ceremony might be before Friday or before Saturday's game too. So I don't run the business. I don't know the schedule of events, but that's what I'm thinking there. So tickets.MarylandBlackBears.com. If there are any left, get in there, pack the dome, and make sure you show your appreciation for your Maryland Black Bears.
Time for some good old interviews. Why not? Start off as always, as we do, with head coach Clint Millamock. Talking about what was said after Friday night's game to get the team going for Saturday night, as well as a little bit about what we'll talk about here in a bit in the alumni segment about two alumni signing pro contracts, and also the Billet Foundation that the Maryland Black Bears have built ahead of this Billet Appreciation Weekend.
Head Coach Clint Millamock joining me right now. And Coach, that was a weekend for sure. I guess your assessment of the weekend and what was said Friday night to get them going for Saturday.
Let's get a touchdown ourselves. They, not much to say. We came back to the hotel, and I think they were expecting maybe more than, you know, we were going to give them. I said, I got nothing for you. Like, Sam and I just kind of looked at the players and said, what do you want us to tell you? Like, it's late in the year. Do you know what a forecheck is? Yep. Do you know what our back check? Yep. Do you know what our schemes are? Yep. So in the end, what are we missing here? Compete. So it is no secret. There's no secrets this time of year. We know what teams are doing. They know what our tendencies are. So doesn't it come down to, like, I want it more than he does? And I give Danbury credit. They worked hard. They were more intense the first game and more up for the challenge. And our guys just weren't there. We had a couple guys that I thought were fine. But just as a group, got to compete. And it's not just, like, once in a while. It's every shift. So that's the message going forward. Saturday was more like it. It was just, we got into it right away. And guys like Stern and Luke Kamel on the ice, stirring it up and just not giving them an inch and not backing down. And that's part of it. Like we have different players in our locker room for a reason. That's to be able to neutralize whatever the other opposition has. And I thought we did a better job Saturday.
That fracas on Saturday kind of sparked the guys on the bench too to see all that compete.
Yeah, it wakes them up. Yeah. And Sterny was saying a few things to the bench. It started off not so great. You give up a goal first shift. But I didn't feel like, oh, here we go again. It was more like, yeah, we'll be fine. Like, we knew the guys would bounce back, and they did. And they usually do.
You look at your history here for the past 6 years in Maryland, seen a lot of good players come through. And two guys this week signed, Luke Salem in the ECHL and Cooper Black to an NHL deal. To be a small part of that in their mentorship when they just start kind of the junior hockey voyage, how does that feel for you to see them achieve that kind of potential?
Hey, good for everyone. I mean, our fans get to point at it. Our loyal fans who know everything about our players and have been there since day one. Our staff that's been here, I guess they get to point at it. The kids that played with them. Is a sense of pride, I guess. And that's what when you start this program, you don't really think of that yet. You think of, okay, we got game next week practice. But then after a while, you kind of sit back and it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool to see like the effect of what this league and what this program has for the local kids, but also for kids that played in our program. And it's just part of the process. And it's exciting to see. And it's good to show guys that are here, like, hey, we got Scoogan in Charlotte, scoring a bunch of goals, one step away from the NHL. You have Cooper Black signing an NHL contract, and Sales was a real good ambassador for our team. He was a great kid, and he had a heck of a collegiate career. And so he actually played my nephew that his first game. So it's kind of fun to watch, like, all these young guys get a crack at pro hockey, and knowing that we're a small part of it's always fun to look at.
And also this weekend is Billet Appreciation Weekend. You've been here since the start. How have you seen the Billet program grow, and what things have you heard back from the players after they've left?
Everything. Well, when you have I always feel like in junior hockey, when players come back and visit, you have something good. When they come back and stay with their billets and have that relationship of, hey, I'm coming in for this week. Is there any ice? Can I come in and skate? And this is like summertime. And that's the whole positive part of off the ice is we have that. Our billets are amazing. Our billet coordinators, you had Amanda to start, and then you have Holly now, and they both like have built, really, like the first thing I asked when I came here and sat in this room and had a meeting, said, who's our billet coordinator? We don't have one yet. I'm like, that's your first hire. Like, we need to find someone now before we do a thing. It's the most important thing is having a stable environment for our players. And for parents to have their minds are at ease when they send their kids here, knowing they're in a situation where they can have a stable home, a good community, and be treated very well. And it starts with your billets. It really is the foundation of this program. And without Holly and Amanda prior to that, this program is going to have a tough time existing, like any program without that.
And we have a lot of pomp and circumstance, but there is two games at hand against Johnstown to end out the regular season. A lot of things on the line, but what's the message you've been sending to the players this week?
4 points. We want them all. We're not coming into this weekend to say, well, we need this to get first place and that. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm saying, if you're any type of team, we want 4 points, and we want to be able to take care of business on Friday. Once again, like, we don't care about anything but competing and taking care of business. And for us, it's the trick for us every year and every practice, every game is, can we get the most out of our players every single time they're on the ice? And it's not got nothing to do with, like, hey, we got to be more skilled. Like, we have enough skill. It's the compete. So they're 4 points, and we want them.
Head coach Clint Miller.
Next up, Luke Kamel for the Maryland Black Bears. He's been on an offensive streak a little bit. He's been finding his game at the other end of the ice. We talk a little bit about that, as well as the spark that was needed in Danbury and his experience with the Billet program here in Maryland for the past season and a half.
Black Bears defenseman Luke Kamel joining me right now. And Luke, that was quite the weekend you guys had for yourselves. What happened? What was said after Friday's game to get you guys sparked on Saturday?
You know, I think we just went out there feeling a little too comfortable, you know, and didn't really focus on like what we needed to do to win. And after Friday's game, coach was just like, you know, we need to get back to details and what we are and our identity as a team. And that's what we did on Saturday.
You think that fight kind of helped you guys out and kind of grouped you guys together? A little Donnybrook help out a little bit?
100%. You know, a fight always helps and gets the boys going. So you know, brought up the energy and, you know, got us on the right track.
Offensively, you've been coming into your own 5 points in your last 10 games. Are you getting more comfortable playing offensively because you're more of a stay-at-home type of guy?
100%, yeah. I think that, like, it's just something that I've been getting better at throughout the year. You know, now that we're at the end of the season, I feel like my confidence in, like, the offensive zone has gone up throughout the season. So, you know, that's just something I try to improve every single game.
It's Build Appreciation Weekend, the last home weekend for the regular season. How has building been for you? You've been here for a year and a half now. How's that experience been for you?
Well, I mean, I can speak for the boys. All billets are great here in Maryland, but, you know, for Holly, she's an amazing billet. You know, I can't thank her enough. And, yeah, it's been great.
Now, task at hand, you guys still have one weekend. You still have to worry about getting first in the division, playing against Johnstown. It's going to be a big weekend, a lot of energy. What do you guys expect to do this weekend?
Well, I think that, you know, with the playoffs coming up, we just need to focus on playing playoff hockey the last two games of the regular season just to prepare ourselves for the playoffs, because it's definitely a harder, chippier game, you know, and that'll prepare us for what's up next.
Luke Amel, the Maryland Black Bears.
Ben Talisher jumps in now to talk about, of course, the weekend in Danbury, but also Talisher also excelled in baseball. We talk about how his skills in baseball have translated over into hockey, as well as his time in his first year and junior.
Maryland Black Bears forward Ben Talisher joining me right now. And Ben, quite the weekend for you guys. One down game, one up game. Your assessment of the weekend overall?
Well, the first game obviously didn't go as we planned. I think we played more into their style of trying to do too much with the puck rather than stick to our details, stick to our systems. And I think it came back to bite us. And then the second game, we did what we were supposed to do. We got pucks deep and figured it out.
That's your first year in junior hockey proper. How has it been? How has the learning curve been?
It's different, definitely different from where I was playing in youth hockey. I mean, a lot bigger, a lot stronger, a lot faster, and there's less room for error. So
you look at what you've done in the past, and not only are you a hockey standout, you're also a baseball standout as well, playing up in Minnesota. How has that skill playing baseball kind of translated in terms of training or anything else into hockey?
You know, over that summer, my sophomore year, summer, I played baseball more than hockey, and I think those workouts benefited me more. And I picked hockey because it was more fun, but all my friends still play baseball, and my high school is pretty good at baseball, and I always think of what it would be like to play for that team. So,
when you look at also coming into a new scene like this as a younger player, the older players being here already, how have they been able to mentor you and kind of show you the way how junior hockey works?
They've been great. Their mentorship and leading by examples has helped me extremely. Like Dimitri, Kibru, the captain, he's always been a great role model for everyone on the team, whether they're older guys or younger guys, and I think he's helped me the most.
Now this weekend, you got Johnstown coming up, final home weekend. What's the big determining factor for you guys? What's been the message throughout the practices this week?
We just stick details, puck details, getting it in, doing our forecheck, and making sure we keep them in front of us.
Ben Talisher of the Maryland Black Bears.
Riley Rue again joins us as he talks about the spark that was needed for the Black Bears, what they need to do ahead of this weekend at Johnstown, and also being able to be put into the billet program, as well as have a little bit of familiarity with his billet ahead of his time here for the past two seasons.
Riley Rue, the Maryland Black Bears, joining me right now. And Riley, that was quite the weekend for you guys. Your thoughts overall on the past two games today, Barry?
First game definitely wasn't our style of hockey. We kind of played into their mind games and just played into their structure. But second game, we definitely picked it up and played exactly how we were supposed to play, and the result showed that.
As far as the guys who are coming back, the veteran leadership, what was said amongst the players in the locker room after Friday's game to kind of pep you guys up for Saturday?
We just knew that wasn't good enough, and if we continued to play like that, we wouldn't be able to make the deep run that we made last year. So we just kind of sternly told everyone that this is the way that we need to play, and we showed that on Saturday.
And on Saturday, you get two goals, one from just on your backside and things like that. Is it just easier for you to kind of see and get the vision of where to go and where to need to go over these past 2 years of being in the NA?
Yeah, this year has definitely been a lot better for me than last year. Last year was very nerve-wracking for me, but this year I've definitely felt more confident and able to make the plays I wasn't able to last year.
And it is Billet Appreciation Weekend. You've been here for 2 years now. What was your billet experience like? How has it been since you've come to Maryland?
It's been good. Last year I lived with my sister, and this year I have too. So it's been awesome being able to live with her and been having a lot of fun and just an easy transition from when I was in Pittsburgh to here.
I'm sure having family helps a lot too.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
So this weekend you got the last regular season against Johnstown, big rivalry game coming up. What's the big thing that you guys need to do to get 4 points out of the weekend?
Just play our game. We can't play into their style, and we know that if we play our game, that there's no team that would be able to stop us.
Riley Rue of the Maryland Black Bears.
And finally, a treat for everyone involved. Bruno, the bear. That's right, the mascot. He is coming on to talk about just his time over the last 6 years, how he hasn't been kicked out for age limits yet, and some other things that were quite enjoyable in this very interesting audio experience.
Joined now by the pride of the Maryland Black Bears, Bruno. And Bruno, it's been a heck of a 6 years for you. My question is, how have you not aged out yet? Right? Sure, no, bear years. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Also, I appreciate what you've been doing for the community. How have you think the fans have been receptive to you in these 6 years? Right. No, of course. We need to do renovations to raise the roof. I understand that. No, it's perfect. When you look at this team and everything that's been through, how do you think that you've been able to meld into the system? Okay, right. Nope. Woods. Sure. No, I get it. I understand. All right. So this weekend is a lot of pomp and circumstance. There's a whole home weekend, the last home weekend of the regular season. How are you personally gearing up for the playoffs? Okay. Right? Sure. Honey. Okay. Seems a bit on the nose, but we'll go with it from there. Yeah. So I appreciate you taking the time out, Bruno, but I have to say, the duds here, you're going a little retro here. Do you like the whole retro foundation that you've had for yourself? Yeah. All right. No, I understand that. You're an old school kind of guy. Fun. What about this weekend? Are you excited for this weekend? Last home weekend against the Johnstown Tomahawks. How do you think the Black Bears are going to fare? All right, 4 points. He's going to put up his fist. Bruno the Bear, everybody.
Thanks to Clint and Luke and Ben and Riley and Bruno to joining us for this one, as well as thank to Jess and Chris for the facilities and the abilities to do this interview. Fun stuff. Little alumni news. Wilmer Skoog still doing his dang thing as he registered two more goals this past week. Wednesday, a goal in a 3-0 win over Hartford. On Friday, a 4-1 win over Bridgeport. So that puts him at 18 goals and 26 points in 42 games in the AHL this season. So he is finding his niche very well. Who knows? Might even sign an NHL deal at the end of the season. He still does have 1 year left on his deal with his AHL-only deal, but we will see how that goes about there. So, congratulations to Wilmer, one of the first, there's other guys who jumped to the league beforehand, but still. Also in the alumni news, a big shout out to Cooper Black and Luke Salem, as we mentioned in the interview segment with Coach Clint. Both signed a contract, Luke Salem signing with Utah, the Grizzlies of the ECHL, which is AA minor league hockey, if you put it into that rating bracket. And Cooper Black, who finished 2 years at Dartmouth and has signed an NHL deal with the Florida Panthers, he'll be starting with the Charlotte Checkers in the Florida Panthers organization, which is where Wilmer Skoog is right now. So congratulations to those two gentlemen for a solid college program and time, and to be able to go into the pro ranks after that. Boston University, and they are in the final, the Frozen Four. And I forgot to mention Thomas Jarman last week when talking about the NCAA tournament. He is part of Boston University. I forgot that because he had entered the transfer portal and then went back to Boston University. Unfortunately, has only played in one game this season, but is still part of that squad as they go ahead and look forward to the Frozen Four. They will take on Denver in the early game on the 11th, and then Tanner Rowe, the other alumni for the Black Bears, and his Michigan Wolverines. He hasn't lined up yet, as a first-year player, has not lined up in the tournament, but his team will go to take on Boston College. We could have a BCBU final. Who the heck knows? You get a Michigan BU final, at least one Black Bear will take home a national championship. So there's that. Going for him, Luca DePasco's and his Michigan State
Spartans, they fell to the Wolverines in the round of eight. Garrett Sidlowski and the Western Michigan Western Michigan Broncos fell to Michigan State in that first round there. Christian Catalano and Kevin Scott, they were bested by Boston University in that first round. So they were unfortunately out. They put up a hard-fought effort. And then BC, Boston College, beat Michigan Tech, who had Michael Morelli as the backup there. So all accounted for are your Maryland Black Bears alumni, and it comes down to the possibility of the guys facing off against each other. Kind of, maybe, a little bit. We'll see, but we will keep track on that and let you guys know next week, or no, 2 weeks from now, how that all happens, because there's a break in between. Get started next Thursday during the bye week for the Black Bears. So, and there we've done it. We have done another show. Get ready for Johnstown weekend. We'll be back next week with the review of Johnstown, and then maybe take a week off on the bye week, who's to say, as we get prepared for playoffs and things of that nature. But that's it. That's all. I'm Scotty Waz. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been Defending the Den, part of the Faceoff Hockey Show Media Faction and Podcast Monsters. You can check us out on the internet, the Defending Den MBB, on Twitter, and clutchandcrabhockey.com for a website. So you guys have a stay safe, stay healthy, stay happy, and cheer on your Black Bears. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.